I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, they are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Auville and Jason Bishop. Got a pack show. It's a game show Wednesday coming up at 8:20. Give you a chance to win some great prizes, including a gift card to Paisano's Pizza. We've got Mike Rizzo joining us at 9 o'clock, the Nationals GM and president of baseball ops. He'll join us at 9 o'clock. Nationals with the win last night, get to 500. And then at 9:25, we'll catch up with Steve Sands from the Golf Channel. You have the first major taking place tomorrow, Tiger Woods gunning for another major at the PGA Championship. So we'll get into that at 9:25. Plus Sean Devaney on the NBA coming up in 20 minutes. Right now, though, it is time to hit the skins.
I like you're going back to the OG name,
well,
JP.
You guys killed me when I was saying tackling the team.
Here's
why. I'm a big fan of alliteration, Cakes.
I know, but it sounds terrible. It sounds terrible.
Well, here's the deal.
What about hit the hurtings?
Hitting the hurtings sounds way better than tackling the team.
And that is apropos, because they are right. The quarterback room. We learned last week that Alex Smith was practicing. Now, technically, he's not practicing with the team because he's on the PUP list, but he's working out, and all reports are he's impressive. And here's what Ron Rivera says about Alex Smith, who nobody expected to be in the equation when it came at quarterback.
He's looked good. He really has. You know, I'll be honest, I was pleasantly surprised to see how far along he is. It's been exciting to watch his progression. You know, he's working off to the side with the trainers. He's trying to mirror all the activity that the other quarterbacks are doing with Kenny and Scott Turner. And, you know, they get a chance, you know, he gets a chance to work on all those techniques and he's looked very fluid. He really has. And, you know, and it's a tribute to who he is, a tribute to his trainers and his doctors that have helped him get to where he is today.
It's a great story. Of course, I'm rooting for him. Very happy that he's gotten back to this point. But just alert me when he's cleared the football physical or whatever bogus test the Washington football team is going to administer to him, and then they're going to flunk him, and he's not going to be able to play. Let me know when he's physically 100% cleared to play for the Washington football team.
It's coming, Cakes. It's coming. Rivera said that one of the things they look at, particularly for somebody who's rehabbing, somebody in Alex Smith's situation, is how do they feel the next day? And apparently he hasn't had any residual effect the next days. So he goes through four workout days, and he feels fine each succeeding day. So I know, Cakes, you're desperate for the doctors to flunk him, but what if they don't?
Well, if they don't, I guess that's just an added luxury and or headache for Ron Rivera. Because, like you said, he was never expected to be competing for the starting quarterback gig in 2020. Nobody thought Alex Smith would be able to make a comeback.
You know what? I kind of like that question, Cakes, you stumbled on to. Is he a luxury or is he a headache? What do you think Alex Smith is going to be for the Redskins? If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. I would lean towards the luxury side. There's no reason for him to be a headache. I've always said this. If Dwayne Haskins is so good, beat out the competition.
Yeah.
Whether it includes Alex Smith, Kyle Allen, I don't care who it is, beat out the other guys and prove that you should be the starting quarterback. So to me, it doesn't have to be a headache. And I don't think that Alex Smith has the type of character where he'll become a headache.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
we know what he did in Kansas City, helping to tutor and mentor Pat Mahomes. Like, he couldn't have gone more out of his way to help him along as a rookie. I think Alex Smith, if he's here and if he's in a backup role, he will help Dwayne Haskins along as he has already.
I think he'll be very supportive, but it's going to be a question the entire summer because, as fans, we're not going to be able to see Dwayne or Alex play. We can only go based off of what people are saying, what coaches are saying, and then whenever the media can cover the team, what they say, because there's no preseason. So we're not going to be able to see it.
Right.
So we're not going to be able excuse me.
You would guess the media is only going to give you – you're only going to get little tiny glimpses right. from time to time.
I mean, so think about it. We're not going to be able to see Haskins play until week one, whenever that is.
Yeah, you're going to see him against Philly.
800-636-1067. Do you think Alex Smith being in the equation at quarterback for the Redskins ends up being more of a headache or a luxury to the Washington Redskins? Look, we don't know what's going to happen. As Cake said, he may be on this, you know, pup list for a while, and they may ultimately flunk him and say he's not going to even have a chance to step on the field.
By the way, that would be the very first test he's ever flunked, I guarantee it. There's no chance he's ever flunked the test.
You know what? He needs some of that.
Well, I flunked multiple.
I was about to say he needs adversity. He's had plenty of adversity dealing with his leg.
Did you take physics at Roosevelt like Cakes and I did? I'm telling you, he would have flunked that.
Guessing his course load at Utah wasn't that taxing.
No,
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm crazy.
I think that kid's really smart.
I'm sure he is.
Call him a kid. He's mid-30s.
Right.
He's a kid to me.
He's a kid to us, yeah.
If you want to chime in on the Alex Smith thing, 800-636-1067, a couple other nuggets. We mentioned this yesterday, but I guess it became official. The Washington football team has signed Dontrell Inman.
Mm-hmm.
So that adds a little depth at wide receiver. The vet played 7 games for the Colts last year with a whopping 12 catches and 181 yards. But if you look at the wide receiver depth chart, that's better than probably half of the guys in the room right now.
I mean, I felt bad after I goofed on him yesterday. But, I mean, he's been in the league since 2014. I mean, he's found a way to stick around in the NFL for what looks like 6 seasons, so good for him. I don't know how impactful he's going to be, but he adds another body to the room with guys, you know, like Cody Latimer on the commissioner's exempt list. Yeah. Kelvin Harmon out for the year with a torn ACL. They're just down in numbers in that wide receiver room. So he's another body. We'll see how he fits in.
They need depth. He adds to the depth.
Yeah, he's got 170 career catches, over 2,000 yards, 11 touchdowns. Find the guys on the roster that have those career numbers.
Right.
You just don't.
He's a solid NFL wide receiver.
Yes.
That's pretty much his resume.
I would say, yeah, he's a solid backup receiver.
Solid guy.
Yeah. Yesterday when we had John Arand on the show, we were talking about how the Monday Night Football booth is expected to change. So they've basically done a complete overhaul. Nobody's remaining from last year. And it's going to include Louis Riddick in the booth, a guy who was an executive. He was actually with the Redskins organization for a while. Of course, has been an analyst on ESPN the last couple of years. Well, Louis Riddick raves about Dwayne Haskins. He says, "I expect Dwayne Haskins to have an absolutely fantastic, monstrous year." Now, he does have a caveat, providing everything else around him stays intact because he's earned it. He's worked for it this offseason.
What's that mean, stays intact? Guys just stay healthy?
Yeah, it's a nebulous caveat. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
He says, "I think Dwayne has taken the perfect approach this offseason. If you look at his social media, he basically chronicled his entire offseason as far as how hard he's been working, how much weight he has shed. He looks absolutely fantastic." Do we think that Dwayne Haskins can have a monstrous year given the fact that he doesn't have much help at wide receiver?
Well, what's a monster year for Dwayne Haskins? What are the numbers look like?
I would say, Cakes, if he plays 16 games.
Okay.
All right, assuming there are 16 games and he stays healthy.
Yep.
I would say more than 22 touchdowns.
Yeah, I would say monstrous means
mid-20s.
25.
Yeah.
If he gets to that number, sprinkles in two or three rushing touchdowns with his newer svelte frame, then that's a Godzilla-like season. If he approaches anything close to like 30 touchdowns combined, huge season two for Haskins.
Hey, look, I hope he's right. We went through it, I guess like last week, our predictions, and I don't know, new coach. Dwayne Haskins did show some signs of improvement last year, but, you know, the new coach brings Kyle Allen with him. You now got Alex Smith potentially in the equation. I don't see him playing 16 games. I see the team struggling a lot. I see them losing a ton of games, and I can't see him putting up big numbers given the fact he has Terry McLaurin and Dreck at wide receiver. That's it. Mm. Right?
Just
who's he throwing
to the
ball?
I don't know. I wouldn't call it Dreck. You don't know if it's Dreck. You've never seen these guys play.
Okay, that's fair. Gandy Golden may turn into something. Here's what's going to happen.
Maybe
Sims will emerge.
Look, I'm looking into my crystal ball. Okay? He's gonna target Terry McLaurin 175 plus times.
175.
Why wouldn't you?
So that's
he's your best option on offense. And
about 11 to 12 targets per game?
Yeah. Why wouldn't he do that? That makes all the sense in the world. He's your best option on offense.
Okay, well, what if every team brackets him and doubles him?
Doesn't matter. He was torching some of the best corners in the league as a rookie, and he should only be better. So you target Terry McLaurin 175 times. Steven Sims, he had a nice little relationship working with him toward the end of the season. I think he was targeted like 20-plus times in his last three games with Haskins. So that's a nice safety valve out of the slot. Then you work in Gibson and McKissick out of the backfield, and Inman catches you, I don't know, I'm not going to overestimate him. He catches 30 balls.
30 balls. He had 12 last year.
Okay, he was flip-flopping between two teams. If he plays 16 games, I don't think 30, that's less than two catches per game. I don't think that's outrageous. And then you piecemeal together your tight end spot. That's how you get to your, Dwayne Haskins pretty good to potentially monster season. Mm. I've laid it out for you. There's the groundwork.
I don't see it. When we start saying that mid-20s is a monster year, then about 20 guys had monster years.
Well, for him, it's a sliding scale, though. I mean, that's not a monster year for Mahomes or Lamar, but for a second-year guy who was thrust into a terrible situation as a rookie, 25 touchdowns would be a quantum leap for him. That would be huge.
I mean, Mahomes
especially if he can limit the interceptions.
Mahomes only threw 26 last year.
Right. I don't think Dwayne Haskins is going to get to 25 touchdowns. Yeah. I think if he got you 21 to 23 and you sprinkle in a few rushing touchdowns,
yeah, you're really happy.
You'll take that all day long.
I've said this multiple times, it's going to be very difficult for a young quarterback, a second-year quarterback, to have a really good year, especially early when you had no off-season workouts, you had no OTAs, you had no camps, you got no preseason games, you got a new system. You've got, you know, one or two receivers that you're really comfortable with that you know. I just think that there's a lot of hurdles. So I also
don't care about quarterbacks' bodies. Peyton Manning always kind of had, it looked like kind of I wouldn't say a big gut, but he certainly didn't look cut. Matt Ryan is super skinny, but he can sling it all over the field. Ben Roethlisberger has been overweight at times and is still one of the best. The body doesn't mean that much. Now, as we talked about in the offseason, it was a great sign that given the fact a lot of people questioned Haskins' work ethic, that it looked like he was putting in the work and taking his job seriously. That's a good indicator. But ultimately, whether he's ripped and lost body fat doesn't mean anything to me as a quarterback.
Oh, I don't care if he looks chiseled or not, but like you said, I think it points to the fact that he's taking his job seriously. He knows there are people trying to take his job, and he's dedicating himself to getting better. I think that's the bigger takeaway from the way he looks at this point.
All right, coming up next, we're going to switch gears. The NBA is back in full swing in the bubble, getting closer to the NBA playoffs. Sean Devaney covers the NBA for Heavy.com and Forbes Sports. We'll connect with him next here on the Junkies.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Going to talk a little NBA now with Sean Devaney. Writes for Heavy.com and Forbes Sports. What's going on, Sean? Trying to connect with Sean, actually. Sorry about that. Like I said, I actually
TJ Warren had another 30-point game last night.
Yeah, I mean, he is volcanic.
I mean, he had 32 last night in a blowout over the Magic, and he's just been, I mean, he's been the best player in the league so far.
Yeah,
or close to
much,
it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like I said, I watched a little NBA last night, and Jason put me on to it. It was the Rockets game, and I was looking at the box score, and they were out-rebounded by 23. I was hoping this experiment would work. But we can talk to our next guest, Sean Devaney. He does join us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. How are you?
So, Sean, for some weird reason, I'm rooting for Mike D'Antoni and small ball.
That is weird. It's weird you're rooting for Mike D'Antoni. Who cares about him?
It's probably not going to work when your team gets out-rebounded by 23. Uh-oh.
He just dropped off.
Sounds like his phone might be a little bit bubbly.
Yeah, where is he?
Sean Devaney. He's got a bubble phone.
Is he in the eye of the hurricane?
I don't know where he is. Couldn't tell you. Don't know where he's calling from.
Well, by the way, yesterday was a wacky day with the weather, right? It would like be pouring, and then the sun would come out, and then it'd pour again, and the sun would come out.
But like by 2 o'clock, it was beautiful. It was great.
The system moved so quick.
It was like high 60s, low 70s, a little bit of a breeze.
Because last week the forecast was it was going to rain all day yesterday, and it stopped at my house around 11:30, 12.
Yeah.
So it was out. It was already up in New York by, 3 o'clock.
Did you sit in the screened-in porch and just enjoy
Monday night. I did on Monday night because remember we had that first wave, like the outer bands came through Monday night, and it poured on Monday night. And it was getting cooler, and I just sat out there and chilled and watched some TV. Well, I tried to. I got a little interruption in my signal with DirecTV. But, yeah, I mean, I'll take the rain if I can get the cooler temps any day of the week.
Sure. It's a good trade-off.
And I'm going to play a little golf today because it's going to be beautiful.
Get after it. Go golfing.
Where are you playing?
I'm going to play at Creighton Farm.
Patrick Creighton Farms?
Yep. That's where I'm going to play.
It's a nice spot, I've heard.
It is.
Fancy houses out there.
I'm going to play with my man John Buell and Brian Davidson from Van Meter.
All right, well, we're trying to reconnect here with Sean Devaney. Just to talk a little NBA. On the Wizards side, there's really not much to talk about. They haven't won a game since they've been back in the bubble.
Mm-hmm. And you would guess they would not win today against Philadelphia.
Right.
Most likely.
They needed a lot of help anyway if they were going to catch a team like the Nets. And the Nets just beat the Bucks. Jason mentioned at the top of the show, because he's a gambler, he threw cash against a team that basically had nobody he had heard of in the Nets, because they've had guys opt out, they've had COVID issues, they've had all kinds of injury issues, and yet that team still beat the Milwaukee Bucks, one of the best teams in the NBA, the best record in the Eastern Conference, which is why I think there may be a team that just goes on some sort of Cinderella run once the playoffs start.
I mean, Lance Thomas, Rodonis Karux, Garrett Temple, Tyler Johnson, and Timothy Cabarrot beat a team that had 54 wins. Explain that to me.
No, I can't. It's weird. I could see them maybe hanging around, maybe covering the 18.5-point spread, But to win the game outright, shocking.
Yeah, I'm not sure they ever trailed. maybe trailed early, but I mean, they pretty much were in control most of that game.
Yeah, if you had to put your money on it right now to win the NBA championship, are you putting on LeBron and the Lakers? Or are you going to go Clippers, Bucks, or some other team?
No idea. I mean, the Raptors have been pretty impressive to me. But I have no idea because I don't know what to expect. I don't know, you know, what it's going to look like. How many are guys going to end up getting hurt or opting out? I have no idea. I mean, based on what I've seen so far, I would say Raptors. The Bucks are just giving up too many points. I would say Raptors, Lakers, Clippers, bad loss yesterday. But, again, they probably didn't care about that game. So, I don't know. It's a good question. Probably one of those three teams.
Yeah,
I don't think a team like the Sixers have a shot.
I've been in the Clippers corner thinking that they would ultimately beat the Lakers. But if you think about that Lakers team, with LeBron and AD, just the two, they're going to have the two best guys on the court, right? As good as Paul George is and as good as Kawhi Leonard is, the two best players will be LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And generally, you bet on the better players.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you want to bet on the one seeds, the one or two seeds. And right now, those are the teams you're talking about. So,
and by the way,
I haven't watched the Lakers enough. I've only seen a little bit of one game from them.
Yeah.
But just based on the numbers and the players, yeah, I mean, they've got to be the favorite.
And if you eliminate last year, how many years in a row did LeBron take any team to the NBA Finals, whether it was the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Miami Heat?
Oh, 100.
He was doing it every year.
Yeah. It'll probably happen again.
By the way,
do you think it's impressive since it's been such a weird, crazy, you know, negative year all the way around on many levels? Do you think it's going to be as impressive to win a ring this year as in other years, as compared to other years?
Not really, but we can ask our next guest, Sean Devaney. We're trying again. If this connection doesn't work, then we're
grasping
and we're out. Sean, are you there?
I am, I swear this time.
Sean, were you in the eye of the hurricane? What was going on?
There's no hurricane.
We've had a complete, right, well, we'll call it a tropical storm. We had a complete technological, like my water doesn't work. My internet doesn't work. My phone doesn't work. Like, all in the last 24 hours. This happened just because of the tropical storm that rolled through.
Where do you live, Sean?
I'm in Massachusetts.
There you go. Well, I don't know how much of the games you watched yesterday, but I watched most of the Nets-Bucks game. Biggest upset in the NBA in basically 25 years. They were 19-point dogs, won the game outright. Their starting five, could probably barely beat a good team at Lane Manor outdoor courts in PG County. But they did it, and they beat, the Greek Freak. They beat Middleton. They beat Bledsoe. They beat a really good team with 54 wins. I was shocked, even though it's a bubble game.
Yeah, and, you know, Milwaukee's coming off a loss. So I think that was one thing where people really expected them to come in and be focused. But, you know, I think there's a couple of things. One, you got to be a little worried about Milwaukee. They haven't looked good. You do have to worry about their closing out games. They've not been good at that this year, even though they don't have many losses. But it's been a problem for them, and it's shown itself in the bubble. But I think the bigger picture is that, you know, there's going to be some randomness here, and I think that's maybe going to make things a little interesting. It's going to maybe make it not representative of the NBA that we left in March, but at the same time, it's going to add, I think, a little bit of an NCAA tournament feel to these seeding games, and then once you get to playoffs, they're going to be the same thing. Because you're playing every other day, you're in obviously this hotel environment. You're going to be there for a long time, and you're playing day games too. You know, I mean, that's
right.
These guys aren't used to that. So yes, I'm worried about Milwaukee, but I also think that we're going to see some of this randomness going forward.
I'll just say this real quick about the Bucks. They're giving up a ton of points, but I'm going to chalk yesterday up to they just didn't care. Because they know they're going to be the one seed. They're going to be the one seed in the East. They're not going to lose that lead. So I'm just going to chalk it up as to one of those games where they just kind of showed up. Like you said, it was a day game. Giannis only played 16 minutes. Middleton only played 16 minutes. If that game really meant something, I gotta think that they, you know, they win. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, yeah, and certainly they're not looking. But at the same time, look, you know, you haven't played in 4 months. You've got 8 games to get yourself ready for the playoffs. You know, at some point, you've got to take these a little bit seriously, even if you are pretty secure in that number one spot.
I wanted your take on the Western Conference before we reconnected with you. We were talking about Lakers, Clippers, but is there a team that you believe could rise up and make like an improbable Cinderella run? You see what the Mavericks are doing offensively with Luka and Kristaps Porzingis. I was talking about the Rockets. Now they can't rebound, but James Harden is a freak show. I watched the matchup actually against the Mavs a few nights ago. He's unbelievable. I could see a team going on a tear and making a run. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, obviously, I think you start with it's you know, I'd put it at about 80% that we're going to see Lakers Clippers in the West. But you know, I think that does leave the door open. As I said, there's going to be some randomness here, and there's going to be some surprises just because of the circumstance. I'm pretty confident about that. And you know, I think Houston is a team, like you mentioned, especially the way Westbrook has played. You know, he's been probably better than Harden, at least in the last in their last 20-25 games, because he's just been so much more consistent. So you have that. I think Houston's also they played better defense down the stretch than they get credit for. You know, they're not a great defensive team, obviously, but if they can be just slightly above average, then they're tough to beat, even though they are going to get killed on the boards. You know, they don't turn the ball over a lot, and they make their threes, or they launch a lot of threes, so they're gonna make some. So you know, I think Houston is definitely for me probably the wild card in the Western Conference. But you're right. I mean, you know, Dallas is a team that I wouldn't want to play. You know, you just because there's such an X factor with Luka and whether he can get hot. If some of those shooters around him are knocking things down, they can be a real handful. And of course, Rick Carlisle is a terrific coach. So Dallas, I would put them as a super dark horse. Houston's probably the easier to pick dark horse in that group.
By the way, for those that don't know, Luka finished with 34 points yesterday, rebounds, and 12 assists.
Yeah, we were talking about the best player in the restart, and Sean, I threw out T.J. Warren because he had the 50-point game and he had 34 or 35, and in the next two, but Luka, he's right there. So I'd say they're 1-2 right now in terms of the best restarts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Luka's been terrific, and you're right about T.J. Warren. What a find he's been. You know, he's been a decent scorer in Phoenix. But with all the injuries that Indiana has had, you know, trying to work Oladipo back in, he's been out most of the year. Now trying to work him back in. Now Sabonis is out. You know, they're desperate for scoring, and if there's one thing that T.J. Warren does, and he doesn't do a whole lot else, but he can score, and Indiana's really needed. You know, again, you know, talk about sort of dark horses. That's a team I would not, if I'm Boston or something like, I would not want to play them in the first round. I think they're going to be a handful as well.
What about Toronto? Toronto has beaten the Lakers and the Heat in their two games since they came back. Van Vliet was awesome in that Heat game. He hit 7 threes. But so they've been pretty impressive too. I'd give them a shot.
Yeah, you know, and they don't get a lot of attention, but they play, you know, they're a really solid defensive team.
Yeah.
And when they're making their shots, they can be pretty unstoppable. You know, when Van Vliet is shooting like that, and Kyle Lowry's played well even at his advanced age, he is still producing. And Siakam, I think OG Anunoby is probably their key player. You know, he hasn't quite developed as quickly as they had hoped, but he is, you know, certainly defensively he's really good. And when he scores, they can be pretty tough to beat. You know, nobody really talks about Toronto, but they're, you know, considering that they're coming off a championship season, they lose Kawhi Leonard, for them to come back and be right where they are. You know, I think in the end we'll see Nick Nurse, the coach there, win Coach of the Year.
Joined by Sean Devaney, NBA writer for Heavy.com and Forbes Sports. You know, Sean, one of the show co-hosts was very excited about the Wizards being able to get into the bubble and make an improbable playoff run. The air is now officially out of his balloon after the Wiz start in the bubble. They're probably going to take it on the chin again today against the Sixers. What have you seen from this depleted Wiz team in the bubble?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you had to know that this is what they were in for once you saw what the roster was going to be, who wasn't going to be there, Bertans and Beal. And, you know, the guys that are out there are, you know, let's say mostly deep bench guys and guys that are rotation players down the line, but just not ready for what they're being asked to do. So, you know, it's not bad to get those guys eight games. That'll be helpful. Remain in the lottery and see what happens next year when you get hopefully you get everybody healthy, including John Wall. We'll see how that goes, and then you, of course, you've got to make bigger decisions about the future of the organization and Brad Beal and all that. But at least you'll at the start of the season they should be all together and have a chance to show what some of these young guys, and I do like some of them. I mean, Hachimura has been his development has been impressive. Brown has been good. You know, so they've got some decent young guys. And if you put them with the two veterans, then you have to hope that they can at least be competitive and start moving in a direction.
Sean, what's been your take on Zion in the three games? He's Gentry played him a little bit more minutes in that third game against Memphis. He had 25 or 23 minutes as opposed to the 14 and 15 he was playing in the first two. So he's kind of slowly working him in. The one thing that struck me is, man, he looked big. He looked a lot bigger in the ass and in the legs. But he's still getting up and down the floor. He still has the burst. And I'm sure he'll lose some of that weight here in the next few games. But, he's just so big.
Yeah, I think they were a little disappointed in him with the way he came back. You know, he'd obviously, like, he had the knee injury in October. He sits out 3 months for what was supposed to be a 6-week injury. And a lot of it, and the speculation, and the Pelicans have never said this, but a lot of speculation is that, you know, he wasn't in shape and they wanted to get him in shape before they put him back on the floor. Like, they take the 4 months off, they come back. They need to win these games. I mean, if they want to make the playoffs, they've got to win these games, and they want to make the playoffs. And I think they were disappointed with how he came back and what kind of shape he was in, and that's why you see the low minutes and just kind of good. But when he's on the floor, they're such a different team. They're a fun team to watch. He's got a great connection with Lonzo Ball. Brandon Ingram plays better. Just everybody on that team plays better when Zion's there. But, you know, it's a conditioning thing at this point, and they have to think about the long term. You know, if you rush a guy back who's not in 100% shape, and you're playing him 30 minutes, you're going to put him at risk. We've already seen, you know, Jackson tear his meniscus and Jonathan Isaac tear his ACL, right. Three games into this thing. So you really have to be conscious of these injuries and the position that you're going to put these guys in, especially if you've got as much invested in Zion Williamson as the Pelicans do.
Sean, appreciate the time. It's Sean Devaney from Heavy.com and Forbes Sports. Good luck with the plumbing and everything else.
Yeah, man.
See you, bro.
Thank you, guys. I'm sorry. Sorry for the technical difficulties.
It's all good. Everybody's all right. Having them in 2020. It's not just you.
Going to happen.
<It's> true.
Yep. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, guys.
Coming up next, we'll tell you what Hollywood actor married a woman 30 years his junior on the entertainment page, but I do need to let you know about our friends at Crop Metcalf. The hot Washington weather is here to stay. Is your residential or commercial cooling system keeping up? For air conditioning maintenance, repair, installation, and service agreements, call the 5-star cooling experts at Crop Metcalf and make sure to ask about their special service and equipment financing options, including no payments for 6 months on qualifying service calls. Give them a call at 1-800-GO-CROP. Or visit CropMetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician and proud partner of the Washington Nationals.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106 of the Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 8:20 on a game show Wednesday, we'll play some Name That Hurting. Got Mike Rizzo, the Nats GM, president of baseball ops. He'll join us at 9 o'clock as we go in the clubhouse, talk about the Nats, who have won three in a row, back to 500 with their win yesterday. There was a little rain delay, but they end up getting the 5-3 win. So he'll join us at 9 o'clock. And Steve Sands from the Golf Channel at 9:25.
When did the rain delay hit? Because I fell asleep maybe the fifth inning?
I would say right around 9:30-ish.
Okay, yeah, so I was out.
Around that time?
I was out.
Maybe it was 9 o'clock, maybe 9.
I was definitely asleep by 8:30 to 8:45.
That's solid.
I actually fell asleep trying to get Isabella to sleep in a room on the floor.
She outlasted you?
And then I woke up. Yes, she did. I woke up, and then I had new life, and then I turned on the TV, and I stayed up for another hour and a half, 2 hours.
You got that second wind.
Yeah, it was stupid.
Someone texted me on the Vibe machine that Bickle finally watched Outcry. I guess he watched it on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys?
He texted me.
Any feedback?
Well, he sent me a text before. I guess this was maybe Monday night, maybe in anticipation of the storm in the Outer Banks.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, is it appropriate for all of the kids? And I said, well, maybe not Kate. I think his daughter Kate is 11.
Yeah.
I was like, but that being said, they don't show anything inappropriate. You just hear a little boy who's 4 years old make his outcry. There's really not that much inappropriate in the five episodes. So what I know is that he blasted through all five episodes in a day. So it was probably the storm day.
So he
had to have loved it. How could you watch that and not like it?
I know.
Have you gotten one negative review from anybody who's watched Outcry?
Not one.
Yeah.
Haven't watched yet. I'm going to have to sample it.
And Cakes is a sleepy on that.
I'm a sleepy on Outcry at this point. I'm too busy with Dexter.
So is Drabby, by the way. Drabby's a sleepy.
I'm into season 5 on Dexter. How could I watch Outcry when I'm neck deep in the deck.
Because Drabby would like it too.
I've watched 2 episodes of it. I'd watch it on vacation, and I fell asleep, and I woke up in the morning, and my wife had watched the whole thing.
I didn't know that you watched 2 episodes. Okay.
Yeah.
So are you not interested enough to watch the final 3?
No, I am, but I just kind of got sidetracked because we were watching it together.
Right.
Ah, gotcha.
She broke
so
the
she liked it.
Yeah.
She loved it.
Yeah.
All right, let's open up the entertainment page, touch on the Hollywood, the music scene, get the latest celebrity scoop. Entertainment page brought to you by Wave Soda. Wave Soda is awesome, super simple, just bubbly water, splash of real juice, little caffeine. It's unsweetened, so no stevia or artificial sweeteners. Just a clean finish with only 2 to 6 grams of sugar and 15 to 25 calories per can. Enter that code JUNKIES for 15% off at wavesoda.com.
JP, I believe you teased it going into the break. The lead story on Cakes' entertainment page is that Sean Penn got hitched recently over Zoom. Sean Penn, the legendary actor, is that giving him too many props? He's a pretty good actor.
I mean, he did. I mean, he was in Colors back in the day, Cakes.
He was in he was Jeff Spicoli in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I don't know if I'd call him legendary. He's not on the Al Pacino level, right, but I'd say he's
very good.
I'd say he's top 50.
He's very good. Plus list.
Don't you think he's top 50 all time?
I would say, yeah. Legendary is a stretch. We're going to go with very good actor, Sean Penn.
Yeah, yeah. I'd give him top 50, top 75 all time.
So he got married recently. He's 60. His bride, Layla George, Paul's sister, is 28 years old. So there's quite an age gap between Sean Penn and his new bride. By the way, he has a daughter with his former wife, Robin Wright.
Yep.
Dylan Francis, who's 29 years old. So he has a daughter that's older than his current wife.
You know, he has two kids, 27 and 29. This was 28, but what struck me about the story is it's Vincent D'Onofrio's daughter. I don't know if he's done a movie with Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, it is? I didn't see that.
Ton of movies.
That's not in the first two sentences of the story,
I
JP.
I put it in the Google Hangout for you because it was like the third paragraph.
Third paragraph. I never get to that.
This is the story of 2020 for Drab.
Oh, it is. This is.
Yeah, but Sean Penn's pretty annoying. So
yeah.
I'm losing my interest in this one.
Yeah.
But
well, I'll tell you what. I think I've told this story many times, but if you hadn't heard it, here it is again. I was in a hotel in, I'm going to call it 1995, all 94, right. 95.
Where? Location?
It was in LA.
Okay.
It was like near Santa Barbara.
All right.
So not really LA, a little bit north. Anyway, so I was in the hotel and I went into the pool. I was the only one in the pool. And then who walks into the pool area, outdoor pool, was Sean Penn and Robin Wright Penn and probably that 29-year-old daughter
right.
because she was a young kid at the time.
Yeah.
And they got into the pool, and it was me, Sean Penn, Robin Wright Penn, and the daughter, only ones in the pool. And I said zippy to them.
Of course you
did. Hey, you want to see me tilt drab?
Yeah. Yes, please. All right.
This is the equivalent of Drab's daughter marrying me when I'm 60.
It is.
Except for he's successful.
And by the way,
hey, so that's not warranted.
By the way, Sean Penn did Mystic River, which is a great movie.
It's a really good movie.
Vincent D'Onofrio in Mystic River.
Wait a second. What character is Vincent D'Onofrio in
Mystic
River? I don't
know. I just was looking at their filmographies to see if they were connected in any way. And sure enough, D'Onofrio was in Mystic River.
You don't know how Vincent D'Onofrio died in Jurassic World, JP. You don't know how
you know
he died.
Cakes? You can Joan. I read it wrong.
You glancied it.
No, yeah, I read it wrong. So Mystic River, Sean Penn, Mystic Pizza, D'Onofrio.
Oh. Mystic Pizza. That's a way different movie.
I was looking at Mystic River. I was looking at the filmography really fast to see if I saw any D'Onofrio movies that Penn was in.
Mystic Pizza is about a chick, if my memory serves me correctly. She falls in love with like a college professor. Julia Roberts is in the movie.
Yes.
Mystic River is
child abduction.
Child abduction, and Tim Robbins begging for his life at the end of it, and Sean Penn stabs him right in the stomach.
I understand.
Spoiler alert!
I was just looking to see if they were connected. I mean, their filmographies are huge, so I was just scanning real quick. Do you think they've ever worked together? And is it weird? So he marries the daughter of Vincent D'Onofrio. He's 1 year younger than her dad.
Yes, correct. Can I get back to the more important point, how Vincent D'Onofrio died in Jurassic World?
I'm going to guess he was eaten by a dinosaur.
He was eaten by a raptor, yes. He was eaten by Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, of course. I knew that was coming.
Vincent D'Onofrio, by the way, very good actor. I don't know if he's on Sean Penn's level, but that dude has got some range. From Full Metal Jacket to Jurassic World, Men in Black. That dude has a long, long list of flicks that he's been in.
Yeah. Very underrated Sean Penn film, Bad Boys.
Bad Boys, it's pretty good. If you like gritty prison dramas.
Oh, it's great.
Bad Boys is for you.
When he sticks all of the Coca-Cola cans in the pillowcase.
It's a great move.
And he ties it up and he turns around and pummels the one guy.
It's a great improvised weapon.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I never would have thought that I could stuff 10 wave sodas into a pillowcase. And just bash somebody's head in with it.
Right? Just crushed
him. I mean, just pummeled that dude. It's brilliant. It's a genius idea.
Another movie he has a very small role in, but I'm a big fan of, because you know I'm a Vince Vaughn mark at the breakup, which is Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston. D'Onofrio plays Vince Vaughn's brother. He's not featured that much, but it's a good movie.
Did Sean Penn Goat fly to, like, Pakistan and talk to some terrorist? What was the deal there?
I can't remember that.
I don't know. He's been a crazy, wackadoo actor.
He's wacky.
I thought he did some interview with it.
Didn't he find El Chapo?
What? Sean Penn did?
Yeah. Didn't they, like, track him to Mexico?
I think, he interviewed him.
Oh, maybe he did that. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
He interviewed El Chapo.
Yeah, that's how they captured El Chapo.
I just wish
And then they threatened Penn's life.
I just wish Jason had asked for a picture of him in the pool, and then Sean Penn would have punched him. That would have made for a better story.
Well, there was no cell phones back then, and there's no cameras, and there's certainly no cameras in the cell phones.
That's a good point.
All right,
what's funny is, why is he in a hotel pool when he probably had a house there or multiple?
Right. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Cakes, you've done one story. I'm assuming you have more on the entertainment
page. Yeah, I'll be honest. I have a few more. They're not great, but I have a few more stories.
All right, well, we do have Name That Hurtin' coming up at 8:20. Your chance to win some prizes here. On the Junkies at 9 o'clock, Mike Rizzo, the Nats GM. Don't go anywhere.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.